Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
And that was really cool that Yusuf Nurkic had a triple-double last night. 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, although he was hunting for assists late in the game. Flurry of assists. Our next guest holds the NCAA record for most triple-doubles. Sabrina Ionescu, just getting started. How are you?
Good, how are you?
How many triple-doubles do you have? 13, 17? What is it now?
I think 15.
15 now? Is it?
Yeah, I think 15.
What's that? You're not a stat person because you're not somebody's going to be looking at the box score afterwards, but do you get a feel during the game if you're not involved in all aspects? Is there like mentally something that goes, hey, I got to get more involved? Or how intentional is that? Or does it just happen when you look at?
No, it kind of just happens. I just try and be productive in every aspect of the game that I can control. So if that's passing or rebounding or scoring, but it's not usually intentional.
The first one you ever had, triple-double ever in your life, where was it?
Probably in high school, or actually middle school probably, but they didn't keep stats then, but I usually probably scored like 50 points a game because my middle school team wasn't very good.
Did that get boring for you? Because I look at James Harden sometimes and I'm like, I wonder if he's bored out there.
Not in college, but in middle school, yeah.
In middle school, did? Made your coach look good, though.
Yeah, I did.
This season, how has it been different than maybe your freshman year when you come in, or even last year? You look at this season as you're starting to move along, and now you're one of the veteran players. How different is it for you out there?
It's definitely different. I just have a better feel for the game and kind of know what to expect going into Pac-12 play, preseason, and postseason. So definitely the experience has helped. Just getting a feel for the game and being more confident and comfortable. And our team this year is just more experienced than the last 2 years. And most of us have all been to the Elite Eight run that we went on last year. So this year we're just more prepared than we've ever been.
Sabrina Ionescu is with us, University of Oregon guard. I looked at you as a freshman and I thought, wow, freshman of the year, Pac-12 freshman of the year, all tournament team, really great start. You're leading a team that's winning games. Now, here we are a couple years later. How do you keep your feet on the ground with everybody's telling you how great you are? You know you're good. You've been this way your whole life. Who is it in your life who's telling you, Sabrina, you got to compare yourself to yourself? Who's that person?
I mean, my family's pretty much like that. They don't really think too much about the accomplishments or the accolades or any of that stuff. But also my high school coach, Kelly Sopak, has been able to keep me pretty grounded and talk to me and kind of led me through it all throughout my middle school and high school and my college career.
This team and Coach Graves in particular, what makes him work as a coach?
He's definitely a player's coach. I mean, he's awesome in every aspect. He really cares about us as people on the court, but also as people off. You know, he talks to us like we're family, and we know that he's always there for us, not only, you know, when we're playing. So I think that definitely helps him and helps us as a team just because we trust him and know that he's out for our best good.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's such a good interview. He's easygoing, and, you know, he's talking about his kids playing Fortnite and very relatable. Yeah. What's he like when he's upset, though? Does he ever get upset?
Oh, yeah. He gets upset a lot. He's kind of funny upset just because he's like a big teddy bear. But, he gets angry and he does the typical things that all coaches do. He'll yell at you and make fun of you and say things that he probably doesn't even remember he said. And then after, he'll just give you a hug and kind of forgets about it and then just move on.
I think it's been really neat to kind of watch not just him but you in this Oregon program in women's basketball. You know, people expect you to win now. How different is that for – it's probably not different for you because you won your whole life, right? I mean, but for me, I've been here 15 years, 16 years. I look around. I'm like, Oregon Ducks women's basketball, you walk in the building, people expect big things from you.
Yeah, and it's definitely different from when we first got here. When we were just on the rise and people didn't know what to expect, but our coaches kind of always believed in the fact that they could accomplish this here, and now we believe in ourselves. But there definitely is a target on her back, and teams are always out to try and beat us and are going to play their best game. So I think that only makes us better.
You guys have kind of sniffed around national championship, Final Four, Elite Eight. You've been in that conversation for people in the last couple of years. What do you think the difference is between like being an Elite Eight team and being a team that's playing at the end in that championship game? How thin is that margin?
I mean, that margin's pretty thin. It can honestly just come down to a possession or two. But I think with the experience that we have and have gone through a lot of those games where they've come down to maybe a possession or a minute stretch, I think we're prepared and we're going to continue to fight, you know, adversity as we're going through the Pac-12 season. And I think that, you know, the competition in the Pac-12 is just going to help us just getting used to being in those scenarios where things might not be going our way, the ball might not be dropping on that particular night, but you have to find another way to win.
You were born in Walnut Creek, and I'm a Bay Area guy, and I'm looking at the A's, and I'm looking at Portland, and I'm thinking, like, the A's would look awfully good in Portland. You'd be okay if we steal the A's from Oakland?
I would. I would totally be okay with that.
Would you go to a game? Are you a baseball fan?
I would. Yeah, I would for sure go to a game.
I always think, like, in Oakland, I just don't think that they are, there's too much going on. The Giants, the Warriors are a bigger deal. Lost the Raiders now. So I think, would Oakland be okay, though? I mean, are people there going to revolt if they lose another team?
I don't think so. I think they're all focused on the Warriors too much to worry about where the A's are going to go.
All right. You guys are home. You've got Arizona State tomorrow, 6 o'clock. You host Arizona on Sunday at noon. I hope a bunch of people go to see the games. For people who are going to tomorrow night's game or Sunday's game at noon, I think I have three daughters. I love, like, the four-year-old is big time into sports. I'd love for her to watch you play. I think, do you look around and see young girls in the crowd and realize what you mean to them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many more people than there ever was in our crowd, and just being able to see a lot of them waiting for autographs after the game and asking for pictures from all of us after the game is inspiring and kind of lets us know what we're doing it for. It's not only for ourselves, but for those kids that look up to us for some sort of inspiration or mentorship.
Sabrina, I appreciate you. Thank you. Good luck to you the rest of the way. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There she is, Sabrina Ionescu, Oregon Ducks. She's essentially the Steph Curry of the Oregon Ducks. She's good. Next level good. Like, I can't imagine her as an eighth grader. I would have liked to coach that team. You know what the eighth grade coach on Sabrina Ionescu's team got to do, like middle school coach? Got to sit back and, like, surf the internet. You have to draw that up. I coached the fifth grade boys team recently, like a couple years ago. And me and Devon Pouncey ran the practices and coached these guys up, and we only had like six or seven players, a CYO team. And I gotta be honest with you, like, it was a lot of fun, not to win games, essentially. We were okay. You know, we made the playoffs, but we didn't win the whole thing. But you know what the fun was? The fun was sometimes designing a play where we knew that we could get a guy a basket who hadn't had a basket all season. All right, what are we gonna do? All right, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna come out of the timeout, this is what we're gonna run. He's going to be shooting the shot. And then that kid gets the wide open shot and he misses it. You're like, oh, God. Like, we put you right there for that layup. But then we run it again, you know? And just those moments, you get a little surprise moment. But I can't imagine coaching a player who's scoring 50. People are like, come on, that's not fair. Sabrina Ionescu and the Ducks in action tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Sunday at noon. I think here's, you know, you could say a lot of things about the state of Oregon, like what we do well here. But between Oregon and Oregon State, and by the way, Oregon State is hosting Arizona tomorrow at 7 and Sunday at 2, they get Arizona State at home. Four great basketball games in this state, all in Corvallis and Eugene this weekend. If you're looking for something to do, get yourself to one of those games. Get your kids to one of those games. But we have the best, I think, tandem of college basketball programs, like the best 1-2 punch. We have the number 5 team and the number 10 team in this state than anywhere else in the country. You may say UConn's better than either one of these teams or Baylor's better than either one of these teams. You can make an argument. But I think we have the best. If we're going to enter two teams from our state against the other state's two teams, I feel really good about Scott Ruick and the Beavers and Kelly Graves and the Ducks. Leave it here. CJ McCollum still ahead. We're up against the clock here. CJ McCollum, Trailblazers guard. If he doesn't make it by the buzzer today, he's coming on tomorrow. Just heard from his people. He's got people. He is unveiling a product line in the next couple of days. His shoes, his Chinese sportswear brand, Li Ning is his thing. So I'm dealing with a person who's talking to his persons, and they're saying he's in a team function right now. If he pops out, he can pop into the show. Adriano, you'll know it if he shows up. If he doesn't, if he comes in too late, we're going to bump him to tomorrow's show because I don't want him to show up at like 2 minutes before the end of the show and do garbage like, hey, what's going on? Okay, buy my shoes. Bye. I don't want to do that interview. So I told his person that we, if he doesn't get in, we'll do it tomorrow. Let me just see. His person is now emailing me. There we go. So we're communicating. Some guy. His guy is talking to my guy. So anyway, it will get CJ McCollum either today before the buzzer or tomorrow. So that's those are the two options. Great show today. We've talked to Harvey Platt, the retired CEO of Platt Electric, who is one of the charter investors of the Portland Diamond Project. Marcus Harvey, CEO and founder of Portland Gear, was with us as well. Very different backgrounds. We're talking about a guy who's retired and a guy who's 28 and still building his business. Same objective. They both want to bring baseball to Portland. Joey Harrington was on the show. Joey was good. I like Joey in that format. I like when you get Joey talking about things that Joey really cares about and knows about. Music, football, quarterbacking, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, sweet spot for Joey. You ask Joey what he thinks about Major League Baseball to Portland, shaky. Shaky. I think it was shaky on that. He knows that. But I thought he was terrific. When you get him in his sweet spot, look out. I thought he was especially good talking about all the perks that quarterbacks get for because they're quarterbacks. Because they are famous people get opportunities. It's true. Like they're all sitting courtside at games. They get the best seats. They're backstage passes. There's just the all-access pass. It's what famous people do to famous people. But I like hearing about that world from Joey Harrington, who took batting practice at Tiger Stadium and couldn't hit one out. Yeah, unfortunate. And I played college baseball, and I got to say, it was probably 10 years after I'd swung a bat, I got invited to take batting practice with the AAA team in Portland. I was very excited about this, but two things occurred to me. One, I had never consistently taken batting practice with a wooden bat. You got a wood bat, that's a little bit of an issue if you were a college player that was used to aluminum. But not something you couldn't overcome. But the bigger obstacle for me was the fact that I hadn't swung a bat in 10 years. And I got into the batter's box for batting practice at the AAA stadium, and I felt really good. I hit some line drives. I was spraying the ball around the field. I felt good. About 15 swings in, I realized, and you probably have had that feeling. You ever been to a batting cage, and you're taking batting practice, and you feel really good, and you're like, whoa. This is something. This is difficult. I'm not in batting practice shape. That hit me. And I was in a sweat. The Beavers gave me the bat. That was the coolest thing. Afterwards, they gave me the bat. But it was really cool, like to go take batting practice. I would like to do that again. You know, with a professional team, major league team. Maybe they would invite us all out to take batting practice. That'd be enough for me. I just think, from a selfish standpoint, I would be a season ticket holder. I'd buy tickets. I wouldn't go to 81 games. I wouldn't even go to 100 games. because they don't have that. But 162 game season, you got 81 at home. I would go to 20 to 30 games. I would be a season ticket holder in that I would get together with other people that would like to go see 20 games. Maybe there was four of us, and I would split that season ticket package four ways. I don't want to be at 81 games. That's too many games for any human being. If you're going to 81 games, I gotta wonder about it. If you're going to 40 Blazer games, every game you're there, come on. How tuned in could you be? But 20, I think 20 is about my attention span as a fan for any game. And I pick a variety of games. I want some day games. I want some night games. I want some different days of the week. And that would be enough for me. So, yeah, I would be, and maybe you're in that boat where you would buy season tickets and you'd just be like, I go to 81 games. Nah, I don't think so. It's too many games. But I look at that and I think to myself, like, hey, it would just be one more thing that would make this city great. And I think there are a lot of things that make this state great. And I think there are a lot of things like the, but ultimately it comes down to the people in the state of Oregon. I think the people here are phenomenal. You are different here. You don't know that because maybe you've been here your whole life. You're different. I've been to other places. I've worked in six other markets. I've been to other parts of the country. I've lived in the Midwest. I've lived in the South. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in California. I've been around to some places and I've seen some things. And I'll tell you, the difference between the people in the state of Oregon and the other places comes down to simple anecdotal evidence. I'm going to tell you this. I did a story years ago about a housekeeper at Moda Center. It wasn't called Moda Center there. It was called the Rose Garden Arena. Now, you may go to games at the Rose Garden Arena. You may even be a season ticket holder. But I'll bet you didn't know about Sarah Farfan and her husband. Sarah Farfan is technically a housekeeper at Moda Center. And many years ago, and I'll tell you, I'll date it by just telling you the people involved. Travis Outlaw was a small forward for the Blazers during this era. Many years ago, Sarah and her husband would come in after Blazer games on game nights, and they're arriving. I don't know if you've ever been out by the interstate side of the arena after the game. About half an hour to an hour after the game, you start seeing people getting dropped off there. They're going to work. Their job is to come in and clean up the arena after the game. Sarah and her husband had the job and the task even further, more important job, of going in and cleaning the Blazers' locker room. So the Blazers players, after the game, they're cutting tape off, they're throwing towels on the floor, and the equipment guy picks a lot of that up. Jerseys go into a bin, and the equipment guys will pick a lot of that stuff up, but what's left is a mess after the game. It needs to be vacuumed, need to be picked up. Sarah and her husband came in after one game, one night, and I will preface this by saying that they have no health insurance. They're contract employees. At the time, the minimum wage was $11 an hour. That's what they were making to come in and clean and work, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., vacuum the floor, clean things up, pick things up that got left behind. And on this particular season of life, Sarah's husband needed new glasses, and they really couldn't afford it. So no health insurance, needs new glasses, making $11 an hour. They're in there cleaning one night, and they find something on the floor. Sarah's husband picks up a $100 bill that is on the floor in the Blazers' locker room. It's thrown like amid all the trash, amid all the tape that got cut off ankles. There was a $100 bill there. They took it, and they took a piece of paper, and they folded it in half, and they stuck the $100 bill in it. And Sarah turned that into her supervisor and said, one of the players, I think, dropped this $100 bill. So they eventually, you know, went around to the players and said, hey, who could have dropped a $100 bill? And it turned out it was Travis Outlaw who had dropped it when he was changing or leaving the locker room. And he was like, okay, that's my $100 bill. And he tipped Sarah $20 for turning it in. I wrote a column about that. And this is where I'm going with this, is you're different than other places. Because in other places, people would have said, oh, that's a nice story. It ends there. But not in the Pacific Northwest, not certainly not in the state of Oregon. Because what happened in the wake of that was $4,000 in $100 bills showed up the next day after in my mailbox at the Oregonian, after I wrote the column. $4,000. The subsequent day, another $4,000.
pretty soon, there was about $8,000 or $10,000 in $100 bills from readers. People who said, you know what? She's an honest person. Give her this $100 bill. She should have got the whole $100 from Travis Outlaw. And I took that money and called Sarah up and said, Sarah, you're not going to believe this, but I have this envelope with all this money in it. I need to get it to you. She said, come by the house. I'd like to have you over for dinner anyway. And so I dropped by their house and I gave Sarah and her husband that money. Now, they went out and they got him a pair of glasses. They also bought a used car so they could get to and from work. You did that. You're different. Not every market would have done that. In the Bay Area, they wouldn't have done it. In the South, they wouldn't have done it. People would have said, that's a nice story. But nobody was going to go down to the bank, withdraw $100, and send it in and say, hey, make sure Sarah gets this. You're different. That's what I'm telling you today. Keep being different. This is the bald-faced truth. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.